Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse Duplantis.
And I'm Kathy Duplantis.
Thank you for tuning in to our Boardroom Chat once again.
Number 303. Yeah.
That's pretty good. Praise God.
Very good.
How many years is that?
That's since 2020. You figure it out.
That's 6 years. My God. And it was only supposed to be a month.
Yeah.
And that's a... People love the Boardroom Chats, and I'm going to give you proof that they do. Read some testimonies before we get into the today's little lesson.
All right. This is from YouTube. It says, I just wanted to share that after 2 years of praying and being diligent to listen to God, He set me up with a great paying job. I have been there for almost 2 years now. They made me a supervisor, and I got a raise.
Glory to God.
Full trust in God, exclamation point. Now another door has opened for me. Following the Lord is exciting. Isn't that great?
I tell you what, boy, that's good news, huh? That make the devil mad, they make God glad.
And
go ahead, Kat, do another.
Glad as well. Dan says, Jesse's preaching changed my life. His teachings made me start reading to verify the wonderful promises he preaches and how to give and receive. I wish I had discovered him 40 years ago, watching from Gainesville, Georgia.
Isn't that a blessing? Who's that person?
Dan.
Dan, I like you, Dan. You know, when I preach them, people think I'm just thinking these things up. This has been in the Bible for over 2,000 years. It's just there. Mm-hmm. I mean, this book is just as relevant today as when God began to write it thousands and thousands of years ago.
Now, that's so wonderful that he heard it, and instead of just getting maybe offended or criticizing, he went to the Bible himself and found it to
be
true.
Yeah. And then he started, and that testimony is his faith voice.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, yeah, so what a blessing. Go ahead, give us a
Helen another. Says, God bless you, Pastor Jesse. Every time I hear you, it's like you're talking to me. The Holy Ghost gets hold of me, and there's no stopping me. Amen.
Well, what's her name, Helen?
Helen.
I got to kind of correct you. I'm not pastor. She's the pastor. I'm a husband.
Evangelist, author,
Evangelist,
educator, and my dad. We used to joke like that
because
that's how Richard Roberts would introduce Oral Roberts, and everybody always would say that you look old enough to be my dad, although we're just 3 years apart. So we made jokes about it.
I mean, Kathy has held her age.
Used to
very,
be true, but it's
she
not.
Was made very well. No. She got good genes.
Let's just mama. Face it. I got to give it to my mama.
It's just such a blessing of the Lord. Thank you, Helen, for saying that. It just really blessed me. And thank you for watching us today. What else?
Well, that's what we want. We pray for the Holy Ghost to touch your life. And whatever we're led by the Spirit every time we come together for these chats.
That's correct.
And it's not planned ahead. It's not scripted. It's just whatever the Holy Ghost is saying at that moment. And I believe that it's igniting other hearts all over the world as well, Helen. Okay, next is from Matthew. It says, God bless you for 50 years of ministry. Pastor Duplantis again. They're prophesying.
Well,
maybe.
I guess so. Praise the Lord.
Pastor Duplantis, I admire you. You know, most people, all they know is the office of a pastor. They're not familiar with the fivefold
Well, I walk in the office
ministry.
Of an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, a pastor, a teacher.
You do the work of an evangelist.
I do the work, but I walk in all five, and you that are born again in the ministry, you do the same thing.
That's right. That's
go ahead, keep
whatever's
going.
Needed.
Read what he say.
Says, God bless you for 50 years of ministry. Pastor Duplantis, I admire you for always doing what God says. We started our campaign to get a building. God bless. So it must be a pastor.
I like the way he used the word admired me.
Uh-huh.
Do you admire me?
Of course.
Good. I just thought I'd put that on film. Praise God.
I admire you.
Thank you.
Greatly esteem you.
Oh, come on. Keep on. What else? What we got? One more?
Let's move on. Okay, this test. Tracy says, one of the first times I listened to your sermons was when I was feeling very unhappy. I found a TV channel late one night airing one of your stories/sermons from A Merry Heart Could Do With Good Like a Medicine. It made me laugh. I ordered the entire set. My kids watched too, and I gave some away. Congratulations, and thank you for your honesty about your life.
I believe, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I'm no big shot. It's sad to see that some preachers think they want to be stars or whatever. And I'm not wrong with being a star. I'm not being critical of that. But, you know, if you got enough of God in you, but the only person you can talk about is not yourself, but God Almighty, because he's so big and so gracious and so kind. I want to talk about something. This is the first time. You know, Chrissy, y'all know Chrissy. She does glorious things with you. And
living.
Glorious living and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I'm going to use one of her ideas today. What do you think? Because it's so prevalent today. I want to know, and I'm almost positive you want to know also, why do preachers mess up the way they do? Why do they commit adultery against a beautiful wife, beautiful children, wonderful family, a church that loves them, probably pays them real well, I'm assuming that, and yet go do some stupid, ignorant, dumb, crazy thing. It's a terrible thing to do those things when you've been made a leader. I remember President Clinton, and I'm not being critical of him, I'm just being truthful. He said, this is my personal business, and we shouldn't be talking about it. That was the Monica Lewinsky affair many, many, many years ago. And I thought, you know, President Clinton, you don't have a personal life. When you're president of the United States, you're president 24/7, which means that you are a leader and an example in everything for a nation. Well, as ministers of the gospel, we are leaders and examples, or should be, to the whole world, not to just one nation. And Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, and he wrote this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I believe it's verse 34. Let me get to it real quick. He says, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. It's a shameful thing to do those things. Right now, they got things coming out about preachers and all that kind of stuff. And, I pray for them. Don't misunderstand me. I mean, I'm not against them. But, you're going to get mad at this, but I'm going to just speak the truth here. If you want to run around and do everything, why don't you just go back to the devil where you first came from? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. If you're going to live for God, why don't you live with gusto? I mean, my God, and live clean and right, and be ye holy, for I am holy. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but not that kind of stuff. You know that, and I know that. In other words, and I personally believe you need to get out of the ministry, go get you a job somewhere. I'm not saying you can't come back to it, but I'm saying go get you a job somewhere and repent and bring fruits of repentance and quit falling in love with yourself and fall in love with the God that saved you, or maybe you're not saved. You just use that as a front to get the people to hurt people. Not only do you destroy your own family, you destroy children in the process. You destroy, and listen to this, every minister in the gospel that's clean has to pay, a lot of times people has to pay for your sin. They look at us. I have never had a scandal in any way, shape, or form concerning that craziness. But when I got born again, I got born again. I didn't cross back over that bridge into the world of sin. Why? Because Jesus set me free. Have I had temptations? Have women come up to me over the years? Yes. But you know what I said? That's all you got, devil, is that? You're living in a dream world, buddy. Because greater is he was in me than he was in the world. What do you think about what I'm saying, Kathy?
Oh, well, I totally agree. You know, this whole statement about we've all sinned doesn't justify a sin that happens right after you come to the knowledge of Jesus and after you're serving in the ministry. Now, there's always forgiveness for those who truly repent. But after, these things are committed, I believe, while you're in the office of the ministry, any ministry office, position of leadership, then the consequences are different. Although God forgives you, you've lost the rights to continue in. A lot of people, they say, oh, well, God forgives. All of sin that comes short. They've come short. But that's why we need a Savior. But once you have a Savior, your life is supposed to change. And because you're a leader and you're in a position that will influence generations, it's important to recognize you have a higher standard. And to me, you lose rights for leadership responsibility.
Amen.
I know there are methods, and if someone is truly repentant, there are ways that they can be restored, but that's submitting to those that are in authority over you. You know, if you're more concerned about the people you hurt rather than yourself, how you're going to earn a living, then that's repentant. But if you're just thinking about yourself, well, how am I going to live? That was my job. Well, you haven't repented. So that's the dividing line.
You do those kind of crazy things, especially sexual stuff and all that kind of stuff. Yes, you can ask God in your heart, he will forgive you immediately. You're restored, but you're not restored back to that office. Now, a lot of people say, just go back and no. Well, you don't understand grace. I understand grace more than you do. God hasn't given you grace so you can sin more. You understand what I'm saying? So don't insult my intelligence and I won't insult yours. But what I'm saying simply is this, you lose rights. When a company manager, a CEO, watch this, does something terrible to a company, he is immediately fired or let go. I'm not saying he can't come back, but he probably can never come back as the chairman of the board.
Because trust has been destroyed.
And yes.
And that has to be earned back. That takes time.
And it's the greatest gift in the world anybody can give you is trust. And the Bible says trust in the Lord. But the reason why people do that, they're just constantly thinking about themselves. I remember men saying this, and I can honestly say I haven't had that in my life. Boy, you know, as you get older, you know, you find a lot of men want to prove to themselves that they're still a man or whatever that means, you know, whatever that craziness is. Well, I'm going on 77 years old, and I can honestly say I ain't had to prove to nobody that I'm still a man. What a dumb temptation. How stupid can you be? I've learned to accept my age. I like my age. Why? Because I'm still here. I like my age. Now, do I like it when I was younger? Well, sure, man, I was stronger and everything was great. But what I like about me now is I wish I had the wisdom I have today back when I was 20, 25, when me and you got married at 20 and you were 17. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. My whole life, since I was born again, because it was a new life, has been nothing but a life of service to his work. You know, people always saying, when you're going to retire? To what? See, this is not a job that I have or a career. This is a calling. Now, I'm going to talk to you men that have fallen and women that have fallen. If you've been called into ministry, you understand it's not a job and not a career. You're not going on there and to get an offering. You're called. You see what I'm saying? And that's a major thing. Yet the Bible said many are called, few are chosen. I think some people went because they were called, but they were not chosen.
They weren't sent. They just went. Huh?
They weren't sent. What happened is they begin to think they saw the spotlight, whatever you want to call it, and it don't make no difference which stage it is, whether it's a church stage or a nightclub stage. You know that light draws attention. Well, Jesus is the light of the world, and I want to be a reflection of Christ instead of casting a reflection upon Christ. Now, I'm going to say something that some people are going to totally disagree with, but I have scripture for it. Most of the time, we don't mention people's names. Well, you know, out of courtesy, and I understand that. But the Bible don't say that. Hey, don't say that. Look what Paul said. He said, Alexander the coppersmith hath done me much harm. The Lord shall reward him in that day.
Yeah.
The book of John, I think it's 3 John. He said, my beloved friend Gaius, whom I love, just loves him. But there was a guy in there, he said he wants the preeminence.
Yeah, be careful about him.
I mean, and you know, maybe the reason why some of these guys get away with this, guys and girls.
Diotrephes.
Yeah, Diotrephes. The reason why they get it by because nobody names them.
Now, John the beloved. The love guy. He named him.
I'm not saying you should, let me just say this. If you do name someone, you shouldn't enjoy it. No, you shouldn't enjoy that somebody fell, but you should protect the gospel with every fiber of your being.
I want to read what John said about Diotrephes.
Okay, go ahead, do that.
This is 3 John, and it's only one chapter, so it's chapter 1, verse 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Now, this guy didn't receive John, probably the only living disciple at that time.
And I want you to read that in different translations, too.
Verse 10, he goes on to say, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and cast them out of the church. So he was very controlling. Not only did he resist John and John's words, he resisted others that John sent there to that church to help them. And so,
read that in another translation.
But then the next verse,
passion.
I want to continue. It says, verse 11 says, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. So that really tells it where it is. Amen. You wanted another translation?
I wanted another translation because he used the word prating. You don't hear that word today in our generation. I know what it means. But I read it in a different translation, Kathy.
Well, the
what translation is that?
This, I could go to the Amplified.
Go to the Amplified.
Verse 9 says, I have written briefly to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to take lead among them and put himself first, does not acknowledge my authority and refuses to accept my suggestions or listen to me. So when I arrive, I will call attention to what he's doing, his boiling over and casting malicious reflections upon us with insinuating language. And not satisfied with that, he refuses to receive and welcome the missionary brethren himself, and also interferes with and forbids those who would welcome them and tries to expel, excommunicate them from the church.
Yeah. And who does this guy think he is? You see what I'm trying to say?
He's full of himself, as we would say in South Louisiana.
Yeah, he think himself. That's how we say it.
He's full of another thing, too, we would also say.
She said that.
If we weren't on camera.
She said that.
I think you know what I'm talking about. It's the Bible calls the word dung. That's stinky. He's stinking up the place. Let's just get real.
But what happens is that, you know, do I believe in forgiveness? I certainly do. Do I believe in mercy? I certainly do. Do I believe in grace? I certainly do.
You know, a lot of people have the stank on them and they don't even know it, but we know.
Oh, yeah. You know, and when you understand that this, look at me when I hold this Bible, this is a holy thing, man. This here is our ticket, for a better way to say it, into the glory of glories going into heaven. Amen. This is not hard to live by. You know, and you know, you have to crucify your flesh daily instead of Sunday. It's nothing wrong seeing a pretty lady and say, that's a beautiful woman. You can even say she's got a good figure. I don't care. Or look at a man and say, that's a handsome man. That's a good looking man. He's got a good body. But you shouldn't let that develop into lust in any way, shape, or form. What's that scripture about the three, the pride of life, the eye?
The lust of the eye, the pride of flesh.
And I mean, it's true. In other words, you're going to see beauty, and there's not a thing wrong with that whatsoever at all. But I mean, you should not, first thing, you shouldn't want something that doesn't belong to you. You see what I'm trying to say? And yet, how many people have been destroyed? I have a friend of mine that passed away years and years ago. I did not know this. We played music together. I did not know this till toward the end of his life, and me going away from the rock world, that he was an Assemblies of God youth leader, and watch it, and a good guy, but his father, who was a pastor, ran off with the piano player in the church. It totally, completely destroyed him. He wouldn't have anything to do with God because of his father's sin. Father's, I believe, is held in the judgment for that. But I personally believe that my friend, right before he slipped out, I have to, because he was a good man. I believe he said, Lord, forgive me. I remember one time after I got born again, I was preaching. I said, you know, why don't you come see me? He said, I've done that gig. You know, we call them gigs. When you're a musician, you know, you go play a club, it's a gig. He said, I've done that gig before. And I told him, no, you haven't. No, you haven't. Your father did that. You didn't do that. And why are you paying for your father's sin? That you're destroying your own self when you shouldn't. You'd be surprised how many times these things happen. And, same thing with the sexual immorality of the Catholic Church. Not all these priests, some of these priests are very good, and women and nuns, very good, loving people, love God with all their heart. But those that sexually molest their children, you would think your child would be safe at church, huh? Oh, man. And it's amazing to me. They don't realize what they do for generations upon generations.
Right.
Not only that, and that's, to me, probably the worst with a child, but also, you know, adultery, and then you destroy your family, and
you know,
one thing, you embarrass God. I can't judge a man's heart.
They bring a reproach to the gospel. Ooh. You know what I'm just thinking, though, that probably a lot of, some of this may happen because of the deception that people are under the wrong thinking, that they're not supposed to say anything. They're supposed to walk in love. They're supposed to forgive, and just that way. And that way, that allows people who are of questionable character to continue to do wrong and deceive and hurt people. And so, as that's what you hear about now, that, you know, the cover-up is worse
Yeah.
Many times than the sin itself. Not always worse, but it was just as bad. So you can't cover it up because then you enable people to continue doing it. Now, John, I just read this in the in Dake's commentary about when John named Diophanes. Diophanes. He says, this man was is unknown, it says, regarding his character being proud, ambitious. He says, but this is the only threat in John's writing, it says, because John didn't name people much like this, or he didn't talk about how he was gonna, what he was gonna do to people, what he got when he saw them. Like Paul said, when I've heard what they said, I'm gonna fix this thing when I get there.
Yeah.
But John, this is the only time he says it according to Jakes for verse 10. It's the only threat in John's writings, except in Revelation. He had apostolic power and threatened to use it to bring judgment on this rebel. Just as Paul threatened the Corinthians, he was saying. But the scripture you were looking for about the lust of the flesh, that's in, also in John, 1 John, his first epistle, chapter 2, verse 16.
Read it.
It says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world.
I mean, ladies and gentlemen, you should be able to control yourself, don't you think? I mean, God, especially if you're a minister of the gospel, or you're praying, or you're studying, or you're listening. I mean, you know, whether you're a man or a woman, it doesn't make any difference.
I think a lot of people start out right, but they get pulled away. Maybe they don't keep their relationship with the Lord fresh. They're not in the Word. They're not applying the Word to themselves. They're just teaching it to other people. And then they fall into that trap and you know, they get deceived. But there's a way out. God always gives you a way out if you turn to Him.
You're always stronger than that. I'm going to give you a personal example. I was full of the devil before I was born again. You understand? And I say it all the time. I think I taught the devil a few things he didn't know. That's how bad it was. When I got born again, Labor Day weekend 1974, I never forget it. It took 4 months to get me out the music business. You know, because you're under union
contracts. Right.
Yeah, you got to fulfill that. And I never forget this. It was Christmas Eve, 1974. I was playing my last gig, my last thing, and I was leaving the music business. I was in a place called Sykeston, Missouri. And I told Kathy, and I called because she was here in Louisiana. I said, I'm going to drive all night.
Yeah, I had gone home a few weeks earlier.
I flew her home. I'm going to drive all night, and I'm going to be there on Christmas Day. And, you know, when y'all wake up, as soon as y'all wake up, I'll probably be coming in or whatever. And I did. Well, to make a long story short, during that time, I'm playing my last show. And I did my best. I wanted to do my best as I went out, you know, even though I couldn't, that was not my life no more, you know. And this beautiful woman came up to me. I mean, a beautiful girl. That's just that environment in. Kathy was gone. Kathy wouldn't have known. Nobody would have said nothing, blah, blah, whatever. Kind of like a Joseph thing. Nobody would have known if he'd have slept with Potiphar's wife. Nobody would have known if I'd have slept with that woman. Now, I'm born again, okay? I've been born again about 4 months, all right? And she asked me if I would like to go home with her, you know, to her house or whatever. And now, being born again, now, you talk about a baby Christian. I was not under no pastor. Nothing, because, you know, we were traveling.
Right.
Only thing I had was a Gideon Bible. That's it. I didn't even have my own Bible. A Gideon Bible. And then Kathy, who was born again a couple of years, she wasn't there to give me strength. So I'm by myself. Well, not really. I got Jesus in my life. And I looked at her. And I said, I met Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. And I'm born again and I'm saved. She didn't know what to say. Let me help you. I couldn't get over that. I said that because another spirit was talking. Another voice was coming out of me. And she just turned around and walked off and all kinds of, because our drummer said, I'll go home with you and all that kind of crazy stuff. But I remember finishing out the thing, and I was in that truck coming home, all that equipment and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, Lord, I did this. He said, yes, and I helped you. I was in you. I didn't feel like I missed something in any way, shape, or form. What I realized that the gospel was so real to me as a baby Christian. having no teaching, no one to say, hey, can I get some counseling? Not bragging on myself. I'm bragging on the Lord Jesus Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, I don't know who that girl went. I don't know if she's living today. Hope she got born again. That's not the issue. You see what I'm saying? But when I got home, I didn't tell Kathy until I started preaching. And I remember that came up and I went, yeah, I have to say that. So don't tell me you don't have strength. You do have strength. You have the power of attorney to use the name of Jesus. And one thing for sure, you can crucify your flesh daily instead of Sunday. So, you know, there's a lot of things coming out about different ministers. And you know what, Kathy? I'm kind of glad it is. It's time to clean house. It's time to get the junk out. And my God, now I don't throw them away. I don't throw them away. I believe in grace. I believe they can be born. I believe they can repent, but that don't mean they can hold that office. Now, I know some people are going to disagree with me on the grace message. You don't really understand grace. You know, I don't mean this to be rude. I've been doing this for 50 years, probably longer than you. I think I know it more than you do. That's not arrogance. That's not cocky. I don't care what you say. You been to heaven? Have you walked in the portals of glory? Have you walked on the gold streets? Have you ever seen Jesus Christ personally? I have. Face to face, from me to her. Not that I'm something. You think I'm going to destroy? Don't think I don't know nothing about grace? Oh, God. And I believe in grace, my God. I preach grace. I live by faith. But I make no excuses or avenues for some people to keep sinning and call it grace. I will not do that because the blood of Jesus is too precious to be trampled upon.
Amen.
I don't hate people. I never have. I never will. I get no enjoyment out of people being judged. But this must be protected with every fiber of our spirit, soul, and body. Maybe I'm preaching too hard. I don't know. But I'm not against people. So you see somebody that's falling, don't spit on them. Pray for them, help them, and sir or woman, whoever it may be, get away from. You have to leave this thing, not your salvation. That's repent. And if you got to go to Walmart and get a job, because Walmart's a good company, you know what I'm saying? Do that and humble yourself. And I'm not saying God can't place you back. And I've known some men that some people that he have, but they had a scar on them. And every time you saw them, you thought about that. Why? Were they forgiven? You better know they were. But they bore that mark because we must be reflections of Christ instead of casting reflections upon him.
Amen.
Well, you have anything else to say before we go?
No, I totally agree with that. And it's a sad thing that we even have to address things like this. But those of you who may have been hurt or harmed because maybe you were under a leadership that disappointed you in that way, just remember that Jesus never disappoints. And we can't keep our eyes on men, although they are placed in positions to lead us and guide us. But the moment they stop following Christ, we need to stop following them.
That's right.
Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ.
That's right.
So that's good advice from the scriptures. Even Paul, who said that, who is so well thought of in the scriptures, we always teach from the writings of Paul. He saw Jesus on the road to Damascus. He was a different man the moment that he encountered Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
He lived completely for him, and he has great writings. But he even told the people, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. So we're following Jesus. We know that Jesus would never deceive people. He would never take advantage of another human being. You know, for their own gratification, which is what these ministers are doing. And that's not just on the men. You hear about it mostly in the men, but I know the women have some of the same issues.
Sure.
And so you have to put God first every single day. If you're tempted, just recognize that God can give you the strength to overcome that. You rebuke it. You expose it. Tell one story before we leave about how you told on the airplane about how if you don't embarrass sin, sin will embarrass you. Or was that at the platform? You had two or three stories you've used that phrase for. Remember there was a pastor that came to you that said that they were telling you They had lust in their heart.
Yeah, there was a preacher that came up town. I'll forget it.
And they need you need people to counsel with you. And you gave him good counsel.
And there was a lot of people around. He said, but just I need to talk to you. I said, yeah. So he said, he was kind of pulling me. There was a big old ficus tree, you know. It was a, what do you call
plant.
It?
It wasn't silk a real plant, one. Yeah. Right.
So he pulls me. I'm almost behind me. I said, what are you doing? And he didn't want people. He says, I got lust in my life. Lust. Yeah. Okay. What should I do, Brother Jesse? I said, tell your wife. She'll stop it.
He went, huh?
I said, if you don't tell her, I'll tell her. And I walked out of that ficus tree. Wait. I said, what's the matter with you?
If you don't embarrass sin, sin.
Yeah, I said, if you don't embarrass sin, sin will embarrass you.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't tell his wife, but he repented. And I told him, I said, listen, man, look, you got a beautiful, look at your family. What's above that, and that's wonderful. Look at Christ. Can you see him dying for you? Can you see the nails busting his flesh? Can you see the spear just jabbing it in blood and water? The crown of thorns just come. Do you see that? And you mean to tell me you're going to go do something like that? That terrific pain? But watch this. What's even worse than that? And that's almost unimaginable. The weight of sin on him that you might become the righteousness of God. So like I say, I had a young preacher at a prayer breakfast for President Barack Obama when I was invited. And he said, is there anything you can tell me? And you've heard me say this before to a young preacher. I said, and I looked at him like I'm looking at you. I said, don't sin. And don't tell me you got to sin every day because that's a lie. We've all sinned. That's correct.
Before you come to Christ.
Yeah. And even while you've been saved, sometimes people
repent.
Make mistakes.
Right.
But you repent of that. But there's some sins as ministers we should never commit. I hope we taught you something today. We're not angry at people. But I am, in every way, shape, or form, I'm going to live my life the best I can. I know what you say. Take heed when a man think he stand, lest he fall. I don't stand in my strength. I stand in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is so good. Till next week, Jesse and Kathy saying, we love you. See you soon. Bye-bye.